My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Well, we are at Fenway Park all day here at WEEI, all day today and all day tomorrow for the 22nd annual Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon. So far this morning, you've donated over $123,000. We have a match sitting out there from the great Rob Hale of $775,000. If we can get that, if you can donate that by the end of our show tomorrow. So those of you who've already given, thank you so much. It's such an incredible couple days here when we get to do this every year and get to see how generous you are. So if you have yet to give, you could call 877-738-1234. That's 877-738-1234. You can go online and give when you go to jimmyfund.org and give that way, or you can text to give. Just text KCANCER to 20222 to donate $25. Just heard during the break about a couple amazing donations. I want to thank the Celtics and the Shamrock Foundation, who just donated $25,000. Wow. to our cause. And good friend of the show, BJ Harvey, and the whole EL Harvey team, who just donated $5,000.
Oh,
so
that's
basically
awesome.
Me, because I'm a part of their team too.
Curtis.
I did work.
Yes, it's because you've worked in the trash receiver
sanitation
industry.
Yes,
yes, and you're willing to do it again if necessary
for $5,000
for another $5,000.
Yep.
I just want to get, let's get that on record then.
Let's do it.
Okay, so if BJ gives another $5,
yes,
then you will be on a trash truck before you go on vacation.
I don't know if you know this. I have a son. His favorite show, Trash Truck.
Oh, okay.
So
all right. Well, there you
I would
go.
Actually be someone he'd looked up to one
there
day.
There you go. Well, if you're ever wondering where your money goes and what can be accomplished, our next guest can tell you a little bit about that. I want to welcome Dr. Christopher Lathan to the show, Chief Clinical Access and Equity Officer and Founding Director of the Cancer Care Equity Program at Dana-Farber. Doctor, thanks for being here this morning.
Thank you guys for having me. It's always a pleasure, and I just want to say that this event is so impactful for everything that we do. So I'm just so happy to see that board number going up and up and up.
Yeah, well, we want to get it. We have a $775,000 match sitting there, so I'm hoping to watch it rise as the morning goes along. And I was reading a little bit about what you do, and it was so interesting to me that when you think about treatment and the success of that treatment, it can be affected by factors such as access and factors such as class. Yeah. And so in looking at that, and I know you've been spending a lot of time and doing a lot of research on this, you find that those who may be in a different class structure may not find the same access that the rest of us can find when it comes to getting help when we're fighting this.
Absolutely. I mean, what you know is, cancer doesn't care what color you are, how much money you have, right? It doesn't care about that. Unfortunately, right, what we know is that the access to the care that you get is, you know, blocked by different things. It's blocked by a lot of different barriers. And I think for me, I grew up in Springfield, Mass. My dad worked in a factory his whole life.
Shout out Springfield.
Hey,
the 413.
413. Look at you.
413.
We love Springfield.
They're listening out there. Yeah.
All right. I see you. I think, you know, in that, to me, you know, looking at working folks, right? Working folks, and the way I looked at it is, when you are working a job every day and it matters when you go, you know, if you take a day off, you don't get paid. And that's what I saw when I started to come and work at the Dana-Farber. You know, there are folks who can always access their care, right? If you get a diagnosis, you make your way and you get a second opinion and you move forward. But there are folks, you know, whether you're in Roxbury, Dorchester, Eastie, you know, wherever you are, they're working and they just don't get the same opportunities. And that's what I wanted to focus on. I wanted to get an opportunity to make sure that everybody could get in here and get this world-class care.
And how have you been able to do that? What are you guys doing at Dana-Farber? Because it's so interesting to me. That crosses all, when you look at race, that crosses all racial barriers. Yeah. You can be black, white, whatever, and have to work and be unable to take a day off for treatment.
That's right. That's right. That's why I say it's not, you know, look, all these barriers come into it, but this is, I grew up with a lot of working folks of all colors, and they had the same struggles. And so what we did is two things. One, we started to ask our question for cancer care in adults, because I'm an adult oncologist. I treat lung cancer patients. I found that, you know, when people wanted to get a diagnosis, they had to have it all wrapped up nicely. So you go to your primary care doc and they do some tests and then you get a biopsy and then you could come see me. But I thought, well, what if we went to the clinics? You know, what if we went to some of the clinics that were in the area and then we asked the primary care docs, why don't you send the stuff to us when you have a question? And then we can answer questions and hopefully you don't have cancer. But if you do have cancer, we can expedite the process. So we started with our outreach or diagnostic clinics, you know, in some of what we call the federally qualified health centers. These are health centers that are specifically built to take care of the community. So we wanted to bring it to them as opposed to saying our doors are open, come in. We wanted to do both.
And go to them where it's more convenient for them, and they are able to still, when it comes to parenting and to working, they're able to still do those things while the treatment or even the assessment comes to them, the diagnosis comes to
them.
Yeah.
The question I was going to ask is, Doc, is how do you help out a lot of people? Because you start to see a lot of people that, you know, they might not have insurance, and a lot don't even have primary care physicians.
That's right.
So how do you get to helping out those people that need to be screened, but they don't have the ability to get screened?
So, you know, Wiggy, this is one of the things that we try to get out in front of it. So you're right. Some people don't have a primary care doc, and those are the folks who sometimes will use the free clinics a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So if we can get out into the clinics and then we educate folks, but then we also reach out, we do community events, we talk to people, and then we let people know Dana-Farber's door is open. Because the other thing that would happen is people would think, well, that place isn't for me.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not the truth, but people don't know that. So I think if we know that and they see us out in the community repeatedly, not just once or twice, but when you're there, then people are able to come in. And so we do, there's a screening van that one of my colleagues, Magnolia Contreras, and the community health group, they actually go out and they do screening for folks who don't have primary care. So there's a lot of different opportunities for us to get to folks. And then I try to take them if they do have a question and bring them in. Mm.
It's amazing how much you've already done, because when I say we live in Boston and we take it for granted for having these hospitals, this high-level care in our backyard, but there are people that are in Boston that don't even have that access. Where do you hope to see it in 10 years? In 10 years from now, how do you hope that people have better access to this care?
Yeah, so what I'd like to see is that things are built into the structure. Because right now it's taking, I have an incredible team, folks that work with us, and we do a lot of work and a lot of outreach. What I want to see is it built in. When it's dependent on individuals, we have navigators, we work with a lot of different folks. I want to make it so that, you know, it's an automated process in a sense that you come in, you get a procedure, the procedure shows that it's abnormal, then you are automatically connected to somebody who can move things through instead of, you know, having to go to someone or having someone to build a process for you. I want to automate that as much as possible. And it can be done with navigators and other things. There's ways to do this. And of course, as our technology continues to get better and better and better, our treatments are so much better. So it really matters if we can get you in and see the right folks earlier and you can get this world-class care. It's really incredible.
Do you feel like, and we talked earlier about some of those that we know that are fighting this right now and their experience, and the from time to time, I think there's becomes a frustration level, and it's not on primary care doctors or those that are who have every great intention, but it sometimes seems like it's hard when you're not feeling well to get to where you need to be at Dana-Farber or otherwise. Does the medical industry in general need to do a better job with that?
Yes. So I say all the time that, you know, there's this thought that you're going to get this, you have a cancer diagnosis and you stop your life. Well, this is what I know. People still have mortgages. They still have family members who are not well. And sometimes the people who are working the hardest, the cancer is not the most important thing in their life at that minute. And it's hard for doctors like me. You come to see me and I want to treat your cancer. But if I don't take into account what's happening in your life, then I go, well, why didn't so-and-so show? I'll tell you a really quick story. We when I was a trainee, I saw a woman who came to see us. She waited about 2 hours to see us. We were running late. It was a lung cancer clinic. We could treat her.
That never happens at the doctor's office, by the way.
I'm just telling you.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to LinkedIn.com/results to claim your credit. That's LinkedIn.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
I might run a little late, but I give you all my time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's what I do. You get all my time. So
Craig always breaks on time.
We talked to her and we gave her our whole plan. We were trying to cure the cancer with chemotherapy and radiation. And she listened to me politely and she said, no, thank you. And then the senior physician who I was working with, as we walked out, we were all really confused. Like, why did she wait 2 hours and then say no? So I went back and I asked her, I said, you just want to know. And she said, well, I'm about to adopt my granddaughter. The court date that you gave is right when we're doing the radiation, and I'd rather die than miss that court date. I said, we can change when we give the radiation. And she said, oh, okay, I could do it. And that was a white woman from Southie. And I tell you that because it's not just about race. It's about class. And I recognize it because I grew up in communities like that. I'm like, there's a reason. And if we don't ask, then we won't know.
Yeah. Great on you for doing that. And are you somebody who believe if you're not feeling well and you're dealing with your primary doctor, whomever, and they're not figuring it out, is it really important for you to keep going back and keep asking for, you know, more? And
yeah, I call it you want to follow the no or follow the why. You want to be respectful because sometimes people know exactly why they're saying no. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to badger them if they say no. But what I do is leave that door open, right? So I ask why. I try to understand. And some people might say, I don't want that right now. I say, okay, well, can I call you again maybe in a week? And I also try to figure out what's the family structure. Because if there's a person there by themselves, there's auntie, uncle, brother, cousin, sister, somewhere else that might not know what's going on. And if I can get their permission to talk to them, right? We all have family members like this, right? That we have to go and get them and say, can you come in to the doctor? And I'm going to go take care of them with you. So I try to ask, make sure I can address the issues.
And what you do, doctor, with lung cancer, where are we today? Like, so people are listening and they're wondering where their money's going.
Oh, yeah.
In terms of research, what has shifted in the last several years in terms of the ability to prolong life or cure the lung cancer you're treating?
So this is an incredible story, right? Because the money that people give, and you're talking about the therapies, when I started my training in 2002, basically there was chemotherapy, and if you had an early stage lung cancer, we could cut it out and we could cure it. But that was only about 20% of people. So most people were going to have some sort of advanced cancer, and then our tools were terrible. And then over a period of time, we came up with more targeted therapies where we could look at the molecular signatures of lung cancer, and some people we could treat with a pill. And this one of my colleagues, I was right next to him. He sat right next to him in clinic, and he and his team developed these approaches. And then we have immunotherapy, which also is another incredible tool. And then we started to stack these things together. So now I try to get a sense of, it's not just you have lung cancer. I need to know what your molecular signature of your lung cancer is, and I can try to address the right treatment for you. So we've been able to make incredible advances in our therapy. We're not where we need to be yet, but we made so much of a difference. Whereas you used to walk into my clinic, I just roll out some chemo. No, now I need to know your molecular signature. I need to know the histology of your cancer, and I'm going to match it the best I can to the therapies, and it matters. It matters. People can have more cures, but also even if we can't cure the cancer, I have patients who, and Barry Nelson is one of my patients who sometimes comes, he actually had a metastatic lung cancer. We treated him with immunotherapy. It's been 7 years since he stopped his treatment, and he's living his life.
Wow.
So that didn't happen before.
That's incredible. Last one from me, and not, I know it's not research-based, but it's highly educated, doing this a long time, based opinion. I have two kids, 27, 24 years old. There is a massive increase when it comes to our younger adults, yeah, who are being diagnosed with cancer. Guess at why that is going on?
Yeah, a lot of people are trying to look at exactly why this is. We're not sure is the short answer.
It's terrifying.
Something new is happening, and there's a lot of people. Is it environmental? Is it, you know, what is happening that we don't know? Well, we see this in colon cancer. We see this in some of our sarcomas. We do see a higher incidence of cancer in our younger folks, and actually a little less in older folks. Now, still the vast amount of folks, the highest risk for cancer is age, honestly. And, you know, as that's really still the highest amount of numbers. But we are seeing this, and we don't exactly know. And, you know, I think this is where the next phase of research is going to be. Is it, again, is it environmental? Is there other things that are impacting
food, diet based, or, you know, the preservatives in food or whatever?
Those are things that we think about, but it's probably is always something. It's like that and more, right? There's got to be something else that we're probably missing, but people are working on it. And I don't know the reason, but we definitely see it.
All right. Well, it's so great to speak with you. You're doing incredible stuff. So thanks for sharing some of that with us this morning.
My pleasure. My pleasure.
All right. We are at Fenway Park. It is day number one of the 22nd annual WEEI Ness and Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon. Over $123,000 you have given so far this morning. Thank you for that. We are going to talk with David Ortiz and Jason Veritek coming up at 9:30. But first, we'll be joined next by Sam Kennedy, the president of the Boston Red Sox.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right?
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.